Okay, guys, we are in the book of Daniel. Yeah, why don't you do that for us, Keith? Yeah. Yeah. Okay, well, we are kind of skipping over a couple of chapters today. Our plan is to come back to them. So actually, the plan was to sort of continue with last week. Remember last week we talked about the new year, having a promised land mentality, or a wilderness mentality, hopefully choosing a promised land mentality for the new year, if that being a goal. So I was going to carry on with talking about being a prayer in the new year. And as you can see from the title, there's notes on the back of your bulletin, if you want to get a bulletin in the back there. Kat will hand you one if you need one. So, I'm not supposed to tell these stories, I don't think. Anyway, people told me not to tell them, but I really didn't intend to study Daniel. Actually, I did intend to study Daniel. And as I started trying to dig into all this prophecy in chapter 7, it's like, I'm just not up for this. I'm not ready for this. So that's when I went back and said, I'm going to continue on with talking about the new year. Then as I started thinking about the new year, I said, well, let me go back to Daniel. And I look back to Daniel, and there in chapter 9 was exactly the thing that was on my mind. Prayer. So I thought, okay, we'll do sort of both at the same time. We'll talk about the new year. We'll continue with our thoughts of the new year. But we're going to be in Daniel chapter 9. So here's the premise that I started with. First I started with, will we become a praying church in 2014? And then I thought, well, that's sort of negative. We are somewhat a praying church. It's kind of hard to really gauge that exactly because I'm not talking about prayer meeting. I'm talking about us. You see, God doesn't see you just as an individual. He sees you as a part of a body. The whole body of Christ, both dead and living, and He sees you a part of this local body. If you are, this is where you are committed to coming. And so He sees you as a part of this body. And so when you are at home alone praying, and there's somebody else that's part of this body is also home alone praying, they have no idea that you are praying. Doesn't have to be at the exact same time. But you see, God brings those things together, and He sees that as us and individually. So that's why I kind of say, are you going to pray in 2014? Are we going to pray? Are we going to grow in prayer in 2014? Have you ever had one of those days that, and I've talked about this often, this just really strikes me. I've had quite a few days, it seems like, more than my share in the last year, where from putting my feet on the floor to getting in the bed at night, things just didn't go my way. Things just either just, you know how little things can, I think you could take the most talented, gifted, disciplined person in the world, and you could just have things, little things go wrong all day, every day, just this not happen, this not work out, and their life would amount to nothing. Or you could everything just click. Have you had that? Things just click, and you just get so much done and accomplished, it's just, where did that come from? You see, in a sense, our walk with God, the difference we make in the world, it's really not up to our ability. It's not up to our gifts, talent. It's what does God do? And God moves the world on this fulcrum of prayer. That's how he works. He just chose to do that, to work through the prayers of his people, and he values that. You can read all through Scripture. He values the prayers of his people. So, how do I do that? How do we do that? How do we become a praying church? Do we organize prayer? We've gone through periods of time where we organize more prayer meetings or not as many. But as I said, that's not really what I'm talking about today. It's, are you going to pray? Am I going to pray in 2014? If we're going to make a real difference, and if God is going to change us as he desires to, if we're going to make a difference for eternity, then this we must do. We must. We must pray. So how do we do that? Well, I opened up this morning with the kids, and I kind of gave you a hint to which direction we're going in. I'd like to give you a little bit of a insight as to how to do that. Very simple thing. How do you end up really praying? How do you pray for your friends that don't know God? How do you pray for yourself? How do you pray for your family? How do you pray for God's work? Let's start like this. What is your deepest need? Did it come to you immediately? Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. But what is your deepest need, your deepest longing, your deepest desire? Now, some may have to think about that for a minute, but most of us know right when I ask the question, you knew. That's my deepest need at this time in my life. This is it. That's the thing that has the most potential to drive you to your knees. It may be related to fruit, to God's purpose in your life, but it's also personal if it's a thing you thought of. Personal. You feel it. You want it. So there's a double impact in going to God with these needs, these desires. Because I'm telling you, just like I told the kids, I'm saying, go to God. Go to God with that need. And you may say, well, it's not really that spiritual. It's just, go anyway. God, if there's anything we learn from Scripture, God cares about you. He cares about your deepest longing. Those unfulfilled things. The things that aren't working out. The things that He cares about those things. He wants to meet your needs. But he wants you to come to him. Now something happens when you do this. When I'm seeking God on my deepest need, about my deepest need, crying out to him. You see, some of you are not predisposed to prayer. All of us are not predisposed to prayer. Because you guys like to think some people are and you're not, and that sort of thing. But we're not. Because it fights against our flesh. So, even if you feel like, this is not my thing. I like to just pray when I'm skiing, or I like to pray when I'm driving, or I like to whatever, you know. I like to be one with God when I'm in nature. You know, you hear people say that a lot. And you can do that, that's for sure. That's real. But when you go to God intensely, like, God, this is what I want. This is what I want in my life. I need this. Doors will open for you. When you really go, I'm talking in earnestness and sincerity, doors will open up for you and you will become aware of God's heart in other arenas. So give in to that thing, that deepest need, that desire that you have. Give in to that in the sense of go ahead, quit holding back, go ahead and ask God. Go to him. And we're going to talk some today, because sometimes the answer is detained. Sometimes it's detained. For quite some time, sometimes it's detained. But he wants you to go to him. And if you're ever, if this is going to be your year to learn how to pray, start with this. It's a baby step. foot start. I'm going to go to God with that need, with that thing that's on my heart, on my mind, that I think about every day. I'm going to take it to God. I'm going to take God, and I'm not going to let go of Him until He answers. I'm going to Him. You see, God likes that kind of attitude in us. So, some thoughts come to mind when I think about this sort of thing. What about when that need is met? Will I still share the heart of God in other areas? Do you know what I mean? Once that longing, that drivenness is gone, you've experienced this, haven't you? Come on. You've experienced it. You've had some need, some pressure, some need a job, you need something, a kid's sick, something. When the need is met, you back away from God because you got it now. Not that you would ever say that, but that in reality is what happens. Well, you don't really know till you get there. But here's what I'm encouraging you to do, is to get there and experience God's compassion and His mercy. Experience it towards yourself. When you really go to God in prayer, He will give you that same compassion and mercy towards other people and situations that He desires to change. And He wants you to pray about it. And when you go to Him with your deepest longing and your deepest need, you're in contact with God. When you come in contact with God, you do not stay the same. He will meet your need. He will change your heart to give you His desires. Now, you can tell I'm not talking about a one-time thing with God. I'm talking about a consistent. That's why I said 2014. I didn't say next week or the week after. Or one day. And here's the thing. If you will let it happen, He will so enrich your soul that you are likely to turn into a prayer, no matter who you are. When you experience God's love, His compassion, His power, your soul will be enriched and you will want more. You will always want more. And if you've experienced that at some time in the past and you've stepped back from it, you want it back. You want it back. So I'm encouraging you to get it back and go through the avenue of that need that you have, that one longing that you have. You must walk this road of prayer if you would really, you'd really have peace with God, if you'd really have fulfillment, then you must walk this road of prayer because He will meet you there and meet your desire. He'll meet your longing. But the thing about it is, this road is fraught with danger, disappointment, and temptation. And you say, well, how could that be? If you ever start to pray about something, you say, well, I don't really want to give my all to this, because if God doesn't answer, I'm going to be disappointed in God. That's going to ruin my relationship with God. And then I'm not going to be a very good Christian. Do you guys ever think those kind of crazy thoughts? Many of us do. Not really, really, really going to ask God. Not really, 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 really believe Him, because I might get disappointed. That's not the attitude God is looking for. It's not. He wants you to believe Him, because this road is also filled with victory. It is. We do ridiculous things as we head down this prayer road. Like not praying, like we said, because we don't want to become cynical. And we don't want to be disappointed if God doesn't answer. So doubt must be battled. If you have these kind of doubts, don't be ashamed of them. Bring them with you when you go to God. Bring them right. You just bring them with you. And tell God you're having these doubts. Doubt is a part of faith. Doubt. Do you see? Do you see how that works? Doubt is a part of faith. How do you ever know you need to have faith if you don't have doubt? You have doubt. It's a part of the prayer road, is to have doubts and fears and those things, but you still don't get off the road. You stay on that road to pray, because nothing's going to happen if we don't do this. Nothing's going to happen. He greases the wheels. He makes things happen. He empowers, even when we don't see it happening. You know, we started this teen class at CrossFit. There's so Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 4:30. And at first there was the baseball team, and so we kind of organized for this baseball team, but that fell through. And of course Lori said, well, let's do it anyway. I said, well, who's going to come? So let's do it. So we did it anyway. And what, were there 13 kids? 14 kids that showed up, like age 13, 14, 15. And so I quickly encouraged some of our kids, come, we need some help. We need some, there's opportunity to build relationships with these kids. You see, but, so you can take something like that and it can just be a workout. That's what it can be. It can just be a workout. What if people pray? What if people pray? What if you go to our website and you see those lists of names on the whiteboard and you say, I don't know Brighton, but I'm going to pray for him. I don't know Brendan, but I'm going to pray for him. Pray he, because the kids that know the Lord, you already know, you know their names already. But the kids, if you don't know their names on that board, you need to pray for them. You need to pray for our kids that they will be able to develop relationships. They can begin disciple making now. And they have. If we don't become a praying church, we just are doing things. We just are doing things. If you don't pray, you're just doing things in 2014. You're not changing the world. Or God is not using you to change the world. Here's another part of praying. I promise, we're going to get in Daniel chapter 9. But I want you to look for these things as we go through. Here's another part of praying. This is you don't want to see this, but you need to see it. It gets ugly. Because, you see, if you see yourself as a reasonably humble person that's doing okay, and but when you go and you get in the presence of God, you go, oh, I think there's some pride here. That's probably one of the first things you'll see. You'll see your pride, arrogance. And we don't like to see that in ourselves. We don't. Who likes to see that in themselves? That's the least thing that I want to see. So it gets ugly on the prayer road. But a part of this, and we're going to see in a minute, is that a part of this road is repentance. It is a regular part of it, is repenting. So, when you begin to pray, this is my hope and my prayer for you, that you will begin to pray. You will take another step in your prayer life. When you turn to God to meet your deepest need, that you will have desire in other areas that you have never had because you've met with God. Doors will open as you really begin to pray. Let's look at Daniel 9. We'll start off first. We won't start with verse 1 to start with, but chapter 9, verse 19. See, Daniel started off praying for this. He started praying for a return to Jerusalem. That's what he started off praying for. These people, they're in Babylon, and Daniel wants those people to be home. He wants to be home. He wants to go back to Jerusalem. He's homesick. That's his land. He wants to go back. So that's his heart's desire. That's what he's praying for. But watch him move. Watch his heart change. That's still desire. That still is. That's God's desire too. But watch the doors open up and he'll start to pray passionately for something that he didn't really start praying for. And it was his motive, but it became more his motive. Doors open. If you will go to God with your deepest need, doors will open for you. He will open doors. And you will have desires and passion for things that you didn't have before. Daniel 9:19. Somewhere in there. Well, halfway through 18. We do not make request of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. Now, we'll get to that verse in a minute. He wasn't praying based on his character. He's praying based on the character of God. But then listen to this. O Lord, listen. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hear and act. This is a deep longing for him. This is something he wants. But then watch him. For your sake, O God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. He's now concerned about the honor of God. That becomes his motivating point, is the honor of God, because the temple has been destroyed. God's people have been ridiculed, and God has been ridiculed. And Daniel is praying, for the sake of your name, restore your people. Whole avenues. He started praying, whole avenues opened up for him. So, you'll find, you may not be the kind of person that is with the thing that I always harp on is disciple making, but if you start praying, look for disciple making to become a part of your prayer life. You'll care about others. You'll want to invest your life in others. Look for that to happen when you start to pray. So let's go back to Daniel chapter 9, verses 1 through 3, and listen for this. That Daniel's prayer is based on God's desires as revealed in his word. That's what it's based on. But don't forget, the thing that drove him to his knees, though, was that longing. He had a desire. He wanted something to happen. He wanted something to change. So follow along with me in chapter 9. So this will keep you focused. Open to Daniel chapter 9. In the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over Babylon, over the Babylonian kingdom, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet. So what's going on there is that Daniel was reading the Bible. He's reading Jeremiah. Had only been dead like 20 years or something like that. And it's not, he's already reading Jeremiah's writings as scripture, and he's reading this, and through scripture, this desire wells up in him. So it's important that we are reading the word, and that we let that steer our desire. You see, he's reading along. We're not told if he's reading along in great faith or reading along in little faith. It doesn't say. But he's reading along, and he says, whoa. God says he's going to bring his people back to Jerusalem. That's the very thing I wanted. And God's going to do it. And you see, it steered his prayer. It motivated his prayer. It was based and founded on God's word. It was in agreement with God's word. That the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. I think he's at about 50 years here. It seems like there's probably like 20 years or so to go. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition and fasting and in sackcloth and ashes. He's going to God with his deepest desires. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed. Okay, so first you see he was in the Word. He went with his deepest desires. That's what he went to God with. He's reading the Word to confirm what he's praying, or God will confirm it through his word. And then you'll see that he's going to worship and he's going to confess sin. The stepping stone of the going to God with our desires, when God lets us connect with him on there. But watch for this. When you connect with God of your deepest desire, when you have that inkling to worship God, go with that inkling. That's God. Worship him. So watch what Daniel does here. Oh Lord, he had the desire. He was in the Word. And you see, this desire to worship God didn't just appear on its own. It doesn't seem that it came first. It's like the longing in his heart, the reading the Word, the turning to God. And then he had he bumped into God. He said, whoa. All of a sudden, he quit with the help me, God, help me. He was like, whoa, God, you are awesome. Oh, Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with all who love him and obey his commands. We have sinned and done wrong. You see what he did? He repented. It's an uncomfortable part of that road of prayer. If you're going to get very far down it, you're going to have to do this. You're going to have to confess your sin and repent to God. He changes you. Growth is not just about doing a Bible study or going to church or being disciplined. God changes you when you are in focused, direct, helpless contact with Him, seeking His face. He changes you. You become aware of your sin. You confess. He changes your heart. People say, I don't grow, I don't grow, I don't grow. I said, you're not praying, you're not praying, you're not praying. We have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. We have not listened to your servants and the prophets who spoke in your name, our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. We've not listened to and responded to your word. He confessed sin and he worshiped. And then, verses 16 to 19, where we already were. So this whole section we just kind of skipped over is basically a lot of us the same. He's worshiping, he's confessing. He's worshiping, he's confessing. He takes a little time with that. And then down to things start to change down in verse 16, which is the verse we'll get to something we already read. But he says, O Lord, in keeping with your righteous acts, turn away your anger and your wrath from Jerusalem, your city, your holy hill. Our sins and the iniquities of our fathers have made Jerusalem and your people an object of scorn to all those around us. Now, our God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servants. For your sake, O Lord, look with favor on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, O God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. And here we go. He's not going to make his request on his own character. You see, he's not saying, I'm going to ask God for this deepest need. I'm going to ask God for this. As soon as I'm reading my Bible every day, and I'm really consistent with church, and I'm having fellowship, and then on that platform, I can go to God. I can stand on that, and I can go to God. And when you do that, he will laugh at you. When you go to God on that platform, he will not hear you. He will not hear your prayer. I don't care how good you've been, unless you've been Jesus. But other than that, I don't care how good you've been, you cannot go to God on that platform. He doesn't want you to go to God. He comes to God on the basis of who God is. He asks his request based on who God is and what God is like, that God loves his people, he wants their needs to be met, and he goes to God on that, not on his righteousness. Yet, we're going to see in a minute where God's going to commend him for his righteousness. But that's not the basis on which he goes to God. We do not make request of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. So when you go to God today, you see what I'm saying today? Don't wait till you think you've built up a track record, and then you can go and ask God for your deepest need. Go now. Because it's not your track record. It's his mercy. It's the basis on which he answers your prayer. It's him. You go to God. But you see what happens? When you begin like this, and you do this, you become a man like Daniel. And listen, you'll see what Daniel's like here. But we'll go on with this. Oh Lord, listen. Oh Lord, forgive. Oh Lord, hear and act. For your sake, oh my God, do not delay. Because your city and your people bear your name. We go down from verse 20 through 23. We're going to see. Yet, I just made that clear. Daniel's not going on the platform of his righteousness. Yet he has come to God. He has come to God so often. He has come to God. He's been in contact with God. God has changed his heart and over time has transformed his life. And God was pleased with Daniel. God was pleased with Daniel. He was pleased with his request. He was pleased with his life. He was pleased with his desires. And insight, understanding, and answers came. So down through verse 23. While I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and making my request, see, he's doing all this stuff that we just talked about. He's worshiping, he's confessing sin, he's asking, he's making requests.
that.
He's asking for this and asking for that, and doors are open, and he's having desires for this, and he's praying and responding to those things. While I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man I had seen in the earlier vision, came to me in a swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice. That's about sunset. He had probably started this prayer around 3. He instructed me and said to me, "Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding. And as soon as you began to pray, an answer was given, which I have come to tell you, for which you are highly esteemed. Therefore, consider the message and understand the vision." You see, we're told a couple different times the answer was given as soon as Daniel began, and it's a few hours later now, and he gets an answer. We know another time, it was weeks he was praying, and the answer was delayed. We're going to read about that in a minute. But the answer was already given. He just didn't know it for weeks later. There's also a part of this, we're going to see, a part of Daniel's answer to his prayer has not even come yet. It is yet to come. An answer to Daniel's prayer. And he was praying then, probably, 600 B.C., 500 B.C., along there. Let's go to some verses of Proverbs. This reminded me of Proverbs. We'll start in chapter 2 and work backwards with a few verses. Proverbs 2, and it's 1 through 8, but you hang with me. You'll see how this is connected. Remember, the angel Gabriel told Daniel, "And in response to your prayer, you have insight and understanding and an answer. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless." And then, chapter 1, verse 23 of Proverbs. "If you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. You see, but since you have rejected me when I called, and no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand, since you ignored all my advice and would not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh at your disaster and your request." You see, confession, because as we get closer to God, as we come to Him, He will reveal things that need to be confessed. We confess those things, He changes our hearts, and changes, you see, and then we begin to live differently, like He's talking about with Daniel here. You see the same thing in Proverbs. And then verses 2 to 7 of chapter 1. "For attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight." You see, sometimes you want discipline before you pray. Why don't you go ahead and pray first? Go ahead and pray first. Just do it. Just bring your desires to God. And then, with that wisdom, will come discipline to do this in a consistent and steady fashion in your life. "For attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding and words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple and knowledge and discretion to the young, let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance, for understanding proverbs and parables and sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline." And then back to Daniel 9:24. The answer came. 77s are decreed for your people and your holy city to finish transgression and to put an end to sin and to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. And that probably made no sense at all to you. But God was going to answer his prayer. The people are going to go back to Jerusalem, and the temple is going to be built. It's going to be rebuilt. God has already, just a little insight into the book of Daniel and the prophecies here, is that there's been people that have accused the book of Daniel that it must have been written at a later date and time, because there's no way it could be written and be that accurate about things that happen in the future. That's a pretty good compliment, isn't it? God's word from the critics. It's too accurate. It couldn't be true. It couldn't have been written. Because the very king that sends the people back to Jerusalem is named in previous writing. And we can prove it. We'll get into that later. But Daniel's prayer is answered. But not in full. Not in full. Because we see here, and if we'll get into this next week, hopefully, this is the prophecy of things that are yet to come. And Daniel's prayer and the things that he sees and the insight he gets have to do with the events that happen at the end of the age, at the end of time. So we'll get to that a little later. But listen, I've warned you. I'm warning you now. This is not without struggle. I think you probably have seen this is not without struggle. It's not without doubt. It's not without hesitation. It's not without fear. But pray anyway. You are not alone in feeling like this. Let's go to chapter 10, a different time of prayer for Daniel, verses 2 and 3. At that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine, touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. And then down to verse 12. Then he continued, "Do not be afraid, Daniel, because this angel comes to Daniel. Since the first day you set your mind," it's been a very hard time since the first day he set his mind, "since the first day you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But since the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days, then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, and for the vision concerns a time yet to come." And then down to verse 18. There was a struggle. Daniel was both exhausted and strengthened by his prayer. "Again, the one who looked like a man touched me and gave me strength. 'Do not be afraid, O man highly esteemed,' he said. 'Peace, be strong now, be strong.' When he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, 'Speak, my Lord, since you have given me strength.'" He was changed and shaped through his contact with the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love. That's exactly where we started. Remember the beginning of the prayer. That's how God described Daniel. Daniel was changed and shaped through his contact with the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of prayer. So God is not waiting on you to become mature. He's waiting to mature you until you come. Until you come to Him. You can study, you can read, you can learn, and you can kind of appear to be a pretty with it, disciplined Christian. But until you come to God in fear and trembling and doubt and faith and struggle and peace, till you come to God, till you contact the God of the ages with your little request, with your longing heart, till you come into contact with God, until you stay, you continue in with Him, your heart will not be changed like He intends to change you. You will not be conformed to the image of Jesus, because it is supernatural. You cannot do it through discipline. You can't do it through studies and school and church and all those things. God, He reserves that for Himself. He's asking you to come. This could be His call to you in 2014. that longing of your heart that you're fearful about coming to Him about, go ahead. Go ahead. Come to Him. I'm not saying the answer will come immediately. Daniel had delays. But come to Him. Contact God. He will meet your longing. He will meet your desire. He will answer you. Let's do that. Let's do that in 2014. And then some boys' lives will be changed. Some people's lives will be changed. Your life will be changed. And we'll do what God has for us and called us to do and prepared in advance for us to do. Have a song.